Good morning, everybody, and welcome to our council session. We'll begin with our invocation. It's a pleasure again to welcome our colleague, Montel Jones-Hill, who will do the invocation. Please rise.
Gracious and almighty God, awesome, magnificent God, we, your created people, pause now before your presence, humbling ourselves, understanding, God, that you are greater ever than we could imagine. And so, God, because of your greatness, your awesomeness, we praise you. We thank you. We thank you, God, that you have allowed us to be in this place one more time. We thank you that you have entrusted all of us with the responsibility of governing this great city, your city, not ours. You have simply entrusted us with the stewardship of this great place. And God, as we take care of the business of this city today, guide us. Show us the way. Touch each of our minds, our spirits, and use us in a way that is pleasing in your sight. God, I want to ask you to touch each person in this place personally. Because, God, the most common element of human beings is our suffering. All of us hurt in the same places. No matter how good we look, how calm, how well dressed, all of us have pain. And so, God, I pray for the pain that may be here and ask you to touch and heal. This is our prayer. Amen.
Amen. Mr. Atkins, could you lead the pledge? Well, again, everybody, welcome. Madam Secretary, if we could go to you for our morning speakers, please.
Yes, sir, Mr. Mayor. Our first speaker this morning is going to be Habri Hassan, followed by Burnham Nur, Richard Hunter, Ewing Mosley, and Anthony Bunn. And while Mr. Hassan is coming forward, let me recite the rules for speaking. Citizens and other visitors attending city council meetings shall observe the same rules of propriety, decorum, and good conduct applicable to members of the city council. Any person making personal, impertinent, profane, or slanderous remarks, or who becomes boisterous while addressing the city council or while attending the city council meeting, shall be removed from the room if the sergeant at arms is so directed by the presiding officer. And the person shall be barred from further audience before the city council during that session of the city council. I remind you, you have 3 minutes to speak. You'll see the amber light and the red light means stop. State your name and your address for the record.
My name is Habri Hassan. I reside at 4010 Esther Church, Edwin, Texas. The Honorable Mayor, Member of the Council, Member of the Staff, good morning. I'm here to speak on behalf of the Association of Taxi Cab Operators. The situation that we've been facing for the last year or so, I can summon by saying, the French Queen, when the people uprise, she said, what happened? And they just told her, the people are starving. She said, why they don't eat cake? You are asking us to go buy vehicles that are beyond our means, and you're saying, why they don't go buy it? Because that is not possible. We have suspended our work stoppage, and we're coming back to talk to you. The strike, the work stoppage, has been suspended. We are coming back for negotiation. Now, we have proposed to Jill Jordan, assistant city manager, that was proposed by the mayor last I think Wednesday before last Thursday, our proposal requires that win-win situation for everybody. The proposal is that we will accept all the vehicles that are certified by EPA clean vehicles in exchange for equity in the business we have. We proposed almost 14 days ago, EPA certified, we will replace our vehicles with all the EPA certified vehicles. They could be hybrid, electric, they could be hydrogen, anything that EPA certified, instead only CNG. Instead only CNG. I don't know what is the magic with CNG. CNG is not ready. The infrastructure for CNG is not here. Until the infrastructure for CNG can get here, we would like for the City Council to resend the only head of line CNG policy to the one we are proposing, which is all vehicles that EPA certified clean vehicles. That's what we're asking. We're not asking for much. In its place, we would like to have equity in the business. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next speaker, please.
Our next speaker is Burhan Noor, followed by Richard Hunter. Mr. Hunter, are you present? Okay. Come forward, Mr. Hunter. You can begin.
You ready?
State your name and address for the record.
My name is Richard Hunter, and I reside at 14333 Preston Road in Dallas. My wife and I have adopted one of the dogs that was rescued from Michael Vick's dog-fighting compound. His name is Mel, and he is the sweetest boy that you can imagine. You see, Vick couldn't make him a dog-fighter, so he used him as a bait dog, muzzled and thrown in with fighters to be killed in the interest of making his dominant dogs better champions. Michael Vick tried his best to kill Mel, but the law got to him before he could finish the job. This is Mel cowering in a corner when he sees a stranger. On Saturday, I was horrified to witness Mayor Pro Tem Carraway gleefully proclaiming that a power had been bestowed on him to give the man that tried to kill my dog the key to my city. Mayor Pro Tem Carraway, I came home that day to a devastated wife who couldn't believe that someone in your position of power and influence would be so cruel as to celebrate with our city's official honor a convicted felon who has not yet even completed his probation and who worked so hard to give Mel the scars that he will wear for the rest of his life. I had no explanation for her, sir, because I couldn't make sense of it either. Your rogue decision to besmirch the reputation of our city during a week when the eyes of the world were upon us was an embarrassment to Dallas, but it was a humiliating slap in the face to my family, who witnesses, through Mel's special needs, a constant reminder of your honorees' brutal crimes. I understand, Mayor Leppert, that you have suggested introducing new stricter guidelines for presentation of keys to the city. I would suggest as part of those guidelines that if you are considering someone for this honor, and you can actually ask yourself the question, what would his victims' families think about this? Stop considering it right there. Mayor Pro Tem Carraway, when you were asked by WFAA if you thought it was a wise decision to give the key to the city to a felon, you replied, "That's not what I was looking at." How that wasn't top of mind for you is unfathomable to me. That is the first thing that comes to mind for most people, as evidenced by the backlash of outrage that you are now experiencing. Even the mayor of Newport News, where Michael Vick is from and where his own aunt is on the city council, said they would not consider such a bizarre action. Mayor Pro Tem Carraway, you said on radio dismissively that the key to the city is worth about $25. Our civic pride, sir, is worth much more than that. Based on your defiance in the face of the reaction to your rash decision and your subsequent diminishing and devaluing of the city's official honor as a means to defend your actions, I respectfully ask you to relinquish your title as Mayor Pro Tem. If you're not willing to do so for the good of the city's national public image and the council's good standing with its citizens, then I implore you, the council, to remove the title from him. I conclude, Mayor Leppert, thank you for disavowing this reckless decision by Mayor Pro Tem Carraway. I now ask that you complete the task of preserving the city's reputation by rescinding the key. Otherwise, those who see that key displayed on Vick's mantle will be given the false perception that the city of Dallas honored him in a way that no one but Mr. Carraway intended. Please, Mayor Leppert, take back that key.
Thank you very much. As I made clear, the official keys of the city were never given out. Mm-hmm. Most importantly, though, we appreciate you giving a good home to Mel, surrounded by a lot of love. Thank you.
Madam Secretary.
Our next speaker is Ewing Mosley, followed by Anthony Bond.
Wow, what a gentleman to follow. Oh, and wow, what an elegant group of ladies and gentlemen we have on our council. Honorable Mayor, Ms. Thune, Ms. Watkins, and ladies and gentlemen of the council, I'm Ewing Mosley. Most of you know me as Sandy, 4719 Cole Avenue. I reside in Angela Hunt's district, District 14. I ask each of you to listen carefully to my words of wisdom. I'm a fourth generation Dallasite, and there are three more generations in Dallas following me. I was raised in the Park City and have resided in the city of Dallas for many years. I love our city. And to love someone, you'll take the bullet for them. And I take the bullet for any of you. I'm served in my country to take the bullet for my country. Unfortunately, in the city of Dallas, we have a section called code compliance, and it is absolutely the weakest part of our city government. Illegal signs bother me, but the code officers don't mind them as they do not enforce the ordinance. Most of these employees don't even live in the city of Dallas and pay taxes to our wonderful city. I have family members who pay thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars in taxes for their business. I've complained through Ms. Hunt's office about illegal parking signs to no avail. RP Valet is the worst. Here are is a sign that they have at Travis on Walk. I have complained to the people who own the property, InterCity Investments, to no avail. I took these pictures that I have to the city manager over code compliance to no avail. Mr. Zapata promised me that these would be removed Friday or Saturday night to no avail. I tried to call Mr. Zapata yesterday. He does not return telephone calls. So how can we expect the code compliance people to operate efficiently if they do not have proper supervision? These pictures are at a restaurant on the corner of Cole Avenue and Armstrong. They're as illegal as the day is long. Their parking man told me that he paid a code compliance officer so that he could have those signs out. If this is not payola, also, this gentleman spoke about...
Take about 10 seconds to summarize.
Spoke about the illegal cabs, or the cabs. When I was in college, I drove a taxi cab. We had to dress like gentlemen with a tie and a cap. The cab drivers that represent pick up people when they come to our city look like hoodlums. I think we need to set standards.
Appreciate
thank
that.
Each of you all for your service to our city, and God bless you.
Sandy, thank you very much. Force, if you could, on the issues that you raised a moment ago, Force, could you just huddle with him and kind of see where we stand and what we need to do? So if you just visit with Forrest, we'd like to try to address the situation for whatever reason it has been. Appreciate that, Madam Secretary.
Mr. Mayor, at 9:19, we have a quorum of the City Council present at this time. Our next speaker is going to be Anthony Bond. Mr. Bond, are you present? Followed by Abda Karima, K-A-R-I-M. Mr. Mayor, that's all of the morning speakers.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much, Madam Secretary. We'll move to our agenda for this morning. The first item on the agenda is the approval of the minutes. Those are the minutes of the January 26th. That's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Any opposed, so ordered. There are a number of items on our consent agenda that were requested to be considered individually. Let me go through those then, if I could take a motion for both the approval of the regular as well as the addendum. On the regular agenda, item number 4, Mr. Atkins has requested that that be considered individually. Item number 21, Mr. Atkins has requested that be considered individually. And then over on the addendum, item number 7, Ms. Margolin has requested that that be considered individually. That be considered individually. Not number 4. No, number 7. Ms. Hill, did you want to make a quick comment, and then I'll go ahead and take the motion. So the ones we'll consider individually will be on the regular agenda 4 and 21 and over on the addendum 7.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Mayor, I want to call attention to addendum item number 3. That is a resolution urging the legislature of the state of Texas to give consideration to the further regulation of the payday lenders. Those institutions are affecting all of our communities, north, south, east, and west. A number of us asked that this item be put on the agenda this morning. We expect that this item is a unanimous item, but I did want our citizens to know that the Dallas City Council is concerned about this issue, and we are moving to do what we can to address this issue. Thank you.
Motion on the consent agenda.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Any opposed, so ordered. Let's move to item number 4, if you would, Madam Secretary.
Item number 4, Mr. Mayor, is authorize a 5-year service contract for acquisition and distribution of replacement toilets as part of the Water Conservation Strategic Plan.
Ms. Davis, please.
Thank you, Mayor. Mayor, I know that the gentleman with the independent cab company spoke. He had mentioned that, did you give something to one of the city managers, a document? Who did you give that to? Is Jill here? Ms. Jordan, you don't have to come. Whatever you gave, Ms. Jordan, whatever you have, I would like to have a copy of
That's
it,
fine.
Please. That's the only thing I want to say.
Good. Mr. Atkins?
Would Ryan and Gene come forward, please?
Yeah.
The reason, colleagues, I pulled this issue, I think, is a very important issue. First, I'd like to thank Ryan Evans for the memo dated February 4th that he sent out to all of the council members telling about a great project. Ryan, could you give us just an overview? How we came about, and make sure the citizens know what program that if we pass this agenda, what program is available about saving the water? Why it's very important for us to be part of the front runner on this particular agenda item.
Well, I think that first of all, I want to thank the council previously for adopting our strategic plan. That we just renewed back in May of this last year. And the toilet replacement program may seem kind of big and small to some people, but it says a lot about how it both helps our customers to save water, helps us, I don't have to provide treatment for it. So it's a great program for the old typical win-win program for our customers. And so I think that the efforts we work with those customers, both low to mod income customers as well as your average customer, it goes a long way to help save water.
How are we educating the public about this plan once we pass this? I mean, how would they know? Who would they call? How would they apply the application? I mean,
this is an extension of an existing program.
Right.
That information is made available on our website as well as through other media opportunities like Bill Stuffers. We'll have campaigns to let people know about the program.
Thank you very much. Gene, the reason why I asked you to come forward, you know, for many years that Delahossa and I, we stand on procurement. We make sure contract, make sure minority contracts are developed on this particular project. When we first started the project, it was zero minority. Now we got 20%.
And colleagues, that is good for the procurement. They go out into the community and they bring back all the engineers, the construction people together to make sure they do partnership. I just want to thank you and your staff, and also Delahanza, thank you for helping me serve in the committee, you know, to make sure that we are reaching out for the minority convention. Again, thank you. With that, I'll move it.
I move to second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, so ordered. Madam Secretary, item number 21, please.
Item number 21. 21 is authorized, number 1, a purchase agreement, number 2, acquisition, and 3, acceptance of a charitable donation from Union Pacific Railroad Company of approximately 4 miles of abandoned, unimproved railroad right-of-way between Raleigh and Clover Hill Roads for the Cleburne Trail Corridor Project.
Ms. Atkins, please.
First, colleague, you know, we have a great Mayor Southern Dallas Task Force. And first, I'd like to thank Mayor Leppers for heading up this Mayor Southern Dallas Task Force. And we had 7 different projects that went through the City Council and said, how are we going to fund this project? And I want Paul Dyer, there was 2 projects that Paul was involved in with the meets and bounds. And Paul, I know we are also looking at some of the money from the 2003 bond package. Could you just give us an overview of what we're trying to accomplish on this project?
Basically, this is securing property for the future for a trail system in Southeast Dallas. It was one of the highest priorities of the Cleburne community. We are currently paying $300,000 for this property. It was valued at $800,000. Union Pacific donated $500,000 worth of this property to the city, and Economic Development had $250,000. We made that up with another $50,000. You'll see on your agenda today, on the addendum, there's a $50,000 item for the meets and bounds, which is something we typically do when we acquire a piece of property. We apply the meets and bounds survey to understand exactly what the dimensions and the boundaries of this property are. And the last thing we'll be doing a survey to see if this property has any required mitigation due to any contamination of soil and whatnot. So it's all part of the acquisition process.
Again, thank you, Paul. But also, again, Mayor, thank you, you know, for the task force, and thank everyone who served on the task force. We see that this was not for naught. We did accomplish some things going forward, especially in the southern sector. And I think that, you know, when you go to Union Pacific and set a property of value at $800,000, they give you $500,000 discount and charity contribution to the city. So I think it's a great deal for the city. Again, that I move this for forward.
It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Any opposed, so ordered. Secretary, Boards and Commissions, 28.
Board and Commissions, the appointment of Boards and Commissions. Mr. Mayor, we have several this morning. I'm going to read the item into the record. Item 28 is consideration of appointments to Board and Commissions and the evaluation and duties of Board and Commission members. First, the Dallas Citizen Police Review Board, John P. Dean, being nominated by Mayor Leppard. The Permanent License Appeal Board, Carol Vesey, being nominated by Council Member Coop. This is for reappointment, isn't it, Ms. Coop? Carol B.C. is for reappointment. Redistricting Commission is Billy Ratcliffe being nominated by Mayor Pro Tem Carraway. Hollis Brashear being nominated by Councilmember Hill. Stanley R. Mays being nominated by Councilmember Davis. For the South Dallas Fireport Trust Fund Board, Nathan McEwen being nominated by Councilmember Hunt. You want to handle that vice chair position separately or go on in?
No, I just put them all together.
Okay. And Marissa Antia is being nominated for vice chair of the Municipal Library Board. Mr. Mayor, that's all of the nominations.
Motion regarding all those. Moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, so ordered. Madam Secretary, 29, please.
Item 29 is authorized the use of conveyances as buildings on property on the south side of West Commerce Street between Pittman Street and Hassett Street in accordance with the provisions of Section 51A 4.603 of the Dallas Development Code. Need a motion?
Motion.
So moved.
Second.
Moved.
Okay. Mr. Natinsky or Mr. Nguyen? Okay.
Initially a motion second by Mr. Salazar, seconded by several other seconds that rapidly followed. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Any opposed, so ordered. Madam Secretary, addendum 7, please.
Addendum item 7 on the consent is authorized number 1, reprogram of the 2006 bond funds originally allocated for the trails and walkways at Arapaho Park, located at 7401 Top Hill Lane, playground expansions at Katie Jackson Park, located at 4900 Haverwood Lane, amenities at Preston Ridge Trail, located for meandering way between Beltline Road and Campbell Road, and a pavilion at Preston Green Park located 6900 Duffield Court, and 2, the receipt of deposit of funds in the amount of $98,000 from Collin County in the Collin County Grant Fund, and 3, an increase in the appropriations in the Collin County Grant Fund in the amount of $98,000, and 4, the receipts and deposit of funds in the amount of $17,325 from the Billingsley Company in the Capital Grant Donation and Development Fund, and 5, an increase in appropriation in the Capital Gifts Donation and Development Fund in the amount of $17,325, and 6, a contract for an off-leash park plaza pavilion, parking lot, site furnishing and landscaping at North Park Park, located 4900 Gramercy Oaks Drive, and Wall Enterprises Best Value Proposal 8.
See if I can get a motion on that. It's been moved and seconded.
Yes,
sir.
Thank you. I pulled this item because I think that it illustrates a serious flaw that we have in our budgeting process. When I saw the item on the agenda, I asked the staff what the operating cost would be for this dog park, and I was told it would cost about $80,000 a year to operate. We don't have the money to take care of the parks and trails and things that we have properly, and yet if we approve this, we're adding another $80,000 to next year's operating budget and the year after and the year after. Mr. Dyer, could you come forward? I would like to know, in the last year, how many new parks did we open?
We had Main Street Garden with, I guess, Wagontail Dog Park, and we had some other parks that were added to the system that were actually renovations, Smog Fountain.
So we added Main Street Park and
Wagontail Dog Park. The new parks, most of them were renovations or actually additions and enhancements, developments to existing parks.
So were you given additional funds to operate Main Street Park?
We were not. Actually, we had a 2-year deal with the Downtown Dallas to help us with that issue, and also refunded some capital funds. So we have it covered for a year or so. After that, we need to come up with the funding. The way we told the council we would fund these new projects, the council's request was we go forward with construction on all projects that were on the books. And the way we funded these projects for O&M was to absorb them and just adjust our performance measures on the rest of the system as we absorb more projects.
So it comes out of somewhere else. I mean, it's coming out of the general budget. You're not getting an additional allocation.
That's correct, yes.
Okay. And that's of great concern to me, that as we pass things, we don't have money to operate the Esplanade Fountain. We are pulling back on park maintenance and other things, and yet when we add these things to the system, in this case, we're adding $80,000 a year. And to me, this is an illustration of something that I have difficulty with, and so in this case, I will not be supporting this agenda item.
Thank you. Mr. Newman, please.
Thank you, Mayor. I just want, for the record, we in Oak Cliff, we had several community meetings regarding dog parks. We've spoken to you and your staff, Paul. I think that the dog park concept are very important. So when the park board passed the Keys Park master plan, did we include the dog park?
We did, yes.
Absolutely. So in the future and in the next bond program thereafter, I'm going to be working hard to make sure that we fund the development of dog park at Keys Park and for the operational funds to pay for that. So I just want to, as a corollary, I do believe that dog parks are part of strengthening neighborhoods because it's just a good investment within our city. So for those listening and so forth, There's a dog park to come for Keith Park in the middle of Oakland. Thank you.
Thank you. We have a motion and second. All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
And opposed, we'll show Ms. Margolin the objection. And Mr. We know Mr. Newman for his youthful and his energetic vibrance he brings to the council, but the years are passing by, as we're reminded by the cake behind you.
Oh, oh my God. Oh,
oh, oh. We have additional excitement, evidently. Mr. Canane, you're up.
Birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear. Happy birthday to you.
Thank you very much.
Terrific.
Oh, I love that. That's a green pen.
The green thing.
Thank you very much.
Happy birthday. It's 9:35 and we'll be in recess. We've got a relatively short afternoon session, so we'll reconvene at 1:30.
And if that is the case, you need to fill out that one.
Good afternoon, everyone. We'll call our session back into order. On the afternoon agenda, the zoning agenda, there are several items that will be considered individually. Items number 30 will be considered. Ms. Hunt has requested that be considered individually. Item number 34, Ms. Coop has requested that be considered individually. Number 35, Mr. Newman. Number 36, Ms. Hunt has requested that that be considered individually. Mm-hmm. So as a result, if I could, Madam Secretary, have you read into the record item 31, 32, 33, 37, 38, and 39. We'll take speakers and I'll take a motion on that.
Yes, sir. Item 31 is a public hearing to receive comments regarding an application for and an ordinance granting an amendment to specific use permit number 1766 for commercial motor vehicle parking on property zone, a commercial service district with a dry liquor control overlay on a portion of the north side of C.F. Hunt Freeway east of Silverado Drive. Item 32, Mr. Mayor, is a public hearing to receive comments regarding an application for and an ordinance granting a planned development district for convalescent and nursing home, hospice care, and related institutions use and community retail district uses on property zone, a commercial retail district on the northeast line of Butterview Road north of Illinois Avenue. Michael King, Mr. Mayor, and council members requested that we pass out to you a document for you to read in consideration of item number 32. Item number 33 is a public hearing to receive comments regarding an application for and an ordinance granting a planned development district for a private recreation center, club, or area limited to a public school district athletic complex and a single-family district uses on property zoned a single-family district located on the northeast corner of Alto Garden Drive and Seaford Drive. Item 37 is a public hearing to receive comments regarding an application for and an ordinance granting a mixed-use district on property zoned an industrial manufacturing district generally located on the northwest corner of South Malcolm X Boulevard and Louise Avenue. Item 38 is a public hearing to receive comments regarding an application for and an ordinance granting a specific use permit for a private recreation center, club, or area on property zoned a multifamily district on the east side of North Marlboro Avenue, north of West Jefferson Boulevard. And final item, a public hearing to receive, this is 39, to receive comments regarding an application for and an ordinance granting a specific use permit for a financial institution with drive-in windows on property zoned Track 1A within Plan Development District Number 260, located on the northeast side of Park Lane, west of North Central Expressway. Is there anyone in the audience that would like to speak on any of the items that I just read into the record? And that would be items 31, items 32, items 33, 37, 38, or 39. Mr. Mayor, there appears to be no speaker.
It's been moved and seconded. Ms. Davis, do you want to make a comment?
Ms. Davis.
Do you want to make a comment before we vote? Mr. Carraway, do you want to make a comment?
Yes, Mayor,
left out with her. And her phone. Any speakers to come down?
We've already finished speaking.
Oh, okay, then.
We just went and did that.
Okay.
Just did it.
Okay. Now, I can bring some speakers down to ask some questions.
No, this is, we didn't have speakers. This is the consent agenda. This item was not pulled individually.
Okay, I'll move for approval on this.
We've already got, motion's already been made. Motion was made about 2 minutes ago.
Okay, move for approval.
Thank you, and thank you, Ms. Davis, for your support on this item. And thank you all for coming down and participating.
And we're very supportive of what you're doing in Ms. Davis's district. Good luck. Congratulations. Thank you, Mayor Riddle.
It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? So ordered. Madam Secretary, 30, please. 3-0.
Item 30, Mr. Mayor.
30.
Item 30 is a public hearing to receive comments regarding an application for an ordinance granting an amendment to an expansive Track 1C portion of Plan Development District Number 486 for a community service district on property zone A, cluster housing district, and a Plan Development District 486 on the south corner of Bank Street and Gurley Avenue.
Mr. Mayor, within 252 notices, property owners with 502 of their request received 7 replies in favor and 3 replies in opposition.
Is there anyone in the audience that would like to speak in opposition to the recommendation of the City Plan Commission on item 30? Anyone that would like to speak in favor? Mr. Mayor.
Thank you very much. Ms. Hunt, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I talked with Ms. Medrano. This is in her district. And with that, I move to close the public hearing and follow the City Plan Commission recommendation for approval with the following change. In Tract 1C, no minimum front yard is required on Gurley Avenue, and a 7-foot front yard is required on Bank Street.
It's been moved and?
Seconded.
Seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Any opposed to order? Madam Secretary, 34, please.
Item 34 is a public hearing to receive comments regarding an application for and an ordinance granting an amendment to Plan Development District Number 656 for a public school other than an open enrollment charter school and single-family district uses on property located on the southeast corner of Hillcrest Road and Meadows Road.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 178 notices to property owners within 500 feet of their request, received 14 replies in favor and 9 replies in opposition.
Is there anyone in the audience that would like to speak in opposition to the recommendation of the City Plan Commission on item number 34? Anyone that would like to speak in favor?
Carl Crawley, 900 Jackson Street, representing the DISD in this request, and I'm just sort of here to concur with what Ms. Coop is going to propose here, that we've discussed this and we're in agreement what she's going to propose. And if you've got any questions, I'll answer.
Thank you. Any other speakers? Ms. Coop?
No speakers.
Thank you, Mayor. Colleagues, this is some updating to Hillcrest High School stadium and stadium area. My alma mater, and Ron, go Panthers. You just say something negative about her. Yes, right. Just because, you know, but the Panthers were better than them. Anyway, well, friendly rivalry here on the council. People went to various different high schools in Dallas. Okay, so Hillcrest was an excellent high school. So I'm very proud to represent the old high school I went to.
It still is.
And it still is. It really is. It still is a very excellent high school. Okay, now let's get on to the zoning. Let's get on to the zoning case. Okay. I move to close public hearing and follow City Plan Commission recommendation with following changes. There are some changes because it's so close to the neighborhood that we'd like to make. I've been talking to some of the neighbors there just recently, and we've made some suggestions to DISD, and they're in favor of this as well, and the zoning official. Require one street tree per 50 linear feet of frontage on Airline Road. Amend the development plan requiring a vinyl and require a vinyl coated chain link fence along the parking lot street frontage on the south side of the stadium from Meadow to Lakehurst and then Lakehurst to the concession area, which is going to be a brand new concession area, to replace also the gating the gate area right there, which is an older gate and chain link fence as well. Either remove the dumpsters or screen them. Now, you know we all have a screening ordinance, and my understanding this is CISD will now be screening all their dumpsters. So if they don't remove the dumpster from the side of the neighborhood, then they will be screening it. Paint the storage buildings. There's two of them there to blend in with the stadium. Make sure I've got it all down here. And I'd like to call Carl up for just this doesn't go in the motion, but just for some clarification on two other items. Carl, one of them has to do with the concrete block, the actual materials that are going to be used, and the other one had to do with fire line. What kind of material do you know that you're going to use on the concession area? And Tully's, it's not only concession area, and they get new, and they get lockers. They've never had locker room at this stadium, but they also get some ADA compliant elevators that go up to the press box as well.
This request and the previous one on the agenda are upgrading two stadiums. One was Pleasant Grove Stadium, and this is Franklin Stadium. And part of it is ADA compliance on the press boxes, which never had an elevator. And then both of them are also getting locker rooms because neither of them ever had locker rooms. I guess the kids dressed in the bus or something. And in both of them are also getting new concession stands. And by sort of their design guidelines, the material on the building, I'll call it, will be either a concrete block that's painted and then a anti-graffiti coating is put on top of it, or it'll be a stucco, not an EPIS, but a stucco that is also coated. The idea is to get a smooth surface so that it can be cleaned as opposed to brick. You can't clean brick, but if you clean brick, then you can then see the outline of where it was. So it's one of those two materials. That's a sort of a up to the contractor. They're giving alternates. And then the fire lane issue that you brought up, I will inform them. Obviously, you can't park in the fire lane if there have been some issues with parking the fire lane. When with this new building in place, obviously fire inspections will go out there and they'll make sure the fire lanes are all painted if they've faded.
Right. Apparently, they're not adhering to the fire lane codes, and or they're just parking there. So it's
an
issue.
You can queue in there, you can stand in there, but you can't park and leave the vehicle. So.
Okay. So with that and with those changes, I move approval.
It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, so ordered. Madam Secretary, before we get to item 35, I know there's a number of people here to speak on item 36.
Okay.
What we'll do on that is we'll give 15 minutes to the side that's for, 15 minutes to the side that's against.
Okay.
So again, as a normal practice, you can use the 15 minutes however you want. So if you want to have one speaker speak for 15 minutes, your call. If you want to break it up into 30 speakers, however you want to do it. So I say that now to give you a little bit of time to just kind of plan out either side how you want to use your time. With that, Madam Secretary, if you'd read 35 into the record, please.
Item 35 is a public hearing to receive comments regarding an application for an ordinance granting an amendment to specific use permit number 1474 for a public school on property zoned a multifamily district located at the southeast corner of Blunt Drive and Ridge Center Drive.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 6 notices to property owners within 400 feet of the area of request, received 1 reply in favor and no replies in opposition.
Is there anyone in the audience that would like to speak in opposition to the recommendation of the City Plan Commission on item number 35? Anyone that would like to speak in favor? Mr. Mayor.
Thank you very much. Mr. Newman, please.
Thank you, Mayor. Council members, this is a Duncanville Independent School District campus off of Camp Wisdom down in Mountain Creek. And what passed by the Planning Commission was a request to, number one, locate two new temporary storage or classrooms adjacent to their campus, and number two, the issue of traffic study or not. The applicant originally did not want any traffic study. The staff had proposed a traffic study, was it once a year, David, or once every other year? Yeah, once every other year, so once every 2 years. The Planning Commission recommended once every 4 years. The reason I pulled this off the consent agenda is because between the time period that the Planning Commission heard the case and today, they the representative of Duncanville Independent School came to me and said, well, can we change the location of the schools again, of the temporary? So, and I'm fine with the relocation, the slight relocation of where they want to place these temporaries. But I am going to insist on the traffic study. We've had some other traffic challenges on Camp Wisdom down in Mountain Creek, and I do want the city to be able to have the right to look at changes in traffic patterns to make sure it does not disrupt the surrounding neighborhoods. Therefore, on agenda item number 35, Z101-103, I move to close the public hearing with the following and follow the City Plan Commission recommendations for approval, subject to an amended site plan and amended landscape plan showing proposed classrooms moved approximately 10 feet from the original location.
It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed or Madam Secretary, item number 36, please. 36.
Item 36 is a public hearing to receive comments regarding an application for and an ordinance granting an amendment to Phase 1 portion of Plan Development Subdistrict Number 20 for certain general retail uses within Plan Development District Number 193, the Oaklawn Special Purpose District, on property located at the east corner of Oaklawn Avenue and Gillespie Street.
Mr. Mayor, we send 175 notices to property owners within 500 feet of their request. We received two replies in favor of the request, two parcels in favor of the request, and 20 parcels in opposition to the request.
Thank you.
At this time, the City Council would like to hear from those individuals that would like to speak in opposition to the recommendation of the City Plan Commission as the Mayor instructed. As the Mayor instructed.
So again, we'll have 15 minutes and however you want to use that.
Good afternoon, Mayor Leppert and Council members. For the record, my name is Marcus Pestel and I reside at 2805 Wellborn Street, Dallas. Is that better?
Thank you.
Most of us here today to speak about the 101111 have taken time away from work. I'm no exception. Accordingly, all the speakers have coordinated to manage our time as a block. At this time, I would like everyone who opposes the 101111 to come and stand and form a line behind me. I have a slideshow that I should be seeing. Here we are. Vote no and deny the 101111. Deny extending a known shadow of crime, the Cedar Springs Wycliffe tag. Deny enacting an abusive variance to Ordinance PD 193. Deny extending privileges to a proven problem. Next slide, please. We are living in the shadow of crime. These four businesses account for 50% of crime in this 14-block area of Oak Lawn. Vote no to more. This is the number of Dallas Police Department offense incidents from 1st of January 2005 to present, a total of 1,006 incidents for Oak Lawn businesses in blocks 2,400 to 3,000. On the map is an overlay of the Cedar Springs Wycliffe tag, which consistently makes the top 10 list of Dallas violent crime hotspots. On the map, you can see the site of Z101 plan site of a new 7-Eleven store. Z101 site plan facilitates crime. 6% of all convenience store robberies happen at convenience stores. I'm sorry, all robberies occur in the U.S. at convenience stores. I'm sorry, next slide, please. Two entrances at the store will increase the incidence of crime. Convenience stores without gas pumps are more likely to be held up. These numbers from a U.S. Department of Justice report. Next slide, please. The majority of residents and businesses in the area are opposed. Out of 22 ballots stamped in, 91% are opposed and 9% support. The Oak Lawn United Methodist Church ballot states opposed. The Warwick Melrose Hotel ballot states opposed. Next slide, please. The prior site zoning variance, Z967165, was approved for this site, PD 193, subject to 20, to protect residential adjacency and prevent the type of upzoning now requested. Z Z967165 upzoned a portion of land previously zoned as residential MF3 to general retail. Z967165 required parking to allow an expansion of the existing retail use, which was a restaurant and wine store. Next slide, please. This zoning application grants privileges not deserved that cause an unsafe build-up of traffic, that lower property values, that don't support a safe live-work-play neighbourhood, and that burden neighbours with resulting costs. Next slide, please. Z101 site plan facilitates crime. Z101 is an abusive upzoning. Z101111 grants privileges not deserved. Vote no today and deny Z101111. Thank you.
Good afternoon, Mr. Mayor, Councilwoman Hunt, and members of the council. I'm Neil Emmons. I thought I was out of the zoning business, but I got a call on Friday morning telling me about this case, and I immediately was back in. This is my neighborhood. I live at 2525 Turtle Creek for nearly 20 years. Three things I want to hit. In 1997, when this site was upzoned, it was a much smaller general retail site, and the PD was carefully crafted to encroach the commercial into residential so that only Tony's Wine Warehouse, which at the time was a good neighbor, could be what operated. That zoning case anticipated that someday Tony might go away and we would be faced with something else. We didn't want to further encroach the commercial into the residential, into our neighborhood. And so the ordinance worked, and we have a hearing today and an opportunity to say no and prevent exactly what we contemplated. The negative response to this in the neighborhood, once people were aware, is astounding. And you could have blown me over with a feather when the organizers told me they had the Melrose Hotel, the Oaklawn United Methodist Church, and all of the CityVet properties in opposition. As you know, it is very rare that businesses come out against commercial zoning requests. And lastly, last night, we had 68 people turn out at a community meeting at the Melrose Hotel. At the end of the meeting, it's my understanding, I had to go to another meeting, Councilwoman Hunt asked something to the effect of, is anyone here willing to work something out? Is there a possible yes here? Is there any answer to further encroach into the neighborhood? And not a single hand went up. And I don't think anything has changed, and we'd all be rather sipping cocoa and marshmallows, but we're here with you, and we ask that you pull in the same direction with us and vote no and deny this case. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, 9 minutes and 17 seconds.
Thank you.
I don't know how much more I can add other than I thought the mood of the 68 people last night was crystal clear, and the willingness to compromise is just not there. Many of the things that were suggested that might improve the keeping crime down from around it included lights, which would also encroach on the neighborhood. This is a residential neighborhood that backs up immediately to that property. And as would the 24/7 operation, along with the deliveries that would be expected at any time of the day or night. Thank you.
Sir, give us your name. I don't believe we got your name when you started.
My name?
Yes, sir. Your name?
Peter Heckel. H-E-C-K-E-L.
Thank you.
Good afternoon. My name is Trey Bounds. I live at 2804 Welburn Street, and I am asking you today to vote to deny this.
My name is Sharon Heckel at 3703 Congress, and I would ask you to deny this. Thank you.
I'm Jordan Smith. I live at 3610 Gillespie, and I'm asking today to vote no on this. Thank you.
Good afternoon, Mr. Mayor, council members. Larry McAfee with the Warwick Melrose Hotel. I represent the ownership and management of the property at 3015 Oaklawn. We are adamantly opposed to a property that operates 24/7 in what we consider an upscale residential neighborhood. Thank you. We vote no.
Good
Good afternoon. My name is Ellen Borlenghi. Excuse me. I'm at 2808 Welburn, and I'm asking you, please vote no. Thank you.
Hi, Rob Martin from 2809 Welburn, asking you to vote no. Thanks.
My name is Ronald Heilman. I live at 3610 Gillespie Street. I'm asking you to vote no for the proposal. Thank you.
Good afternoon. My name is Frank Okuda, 2805 Welburn. I ask you to please vote no.
My name is Brian Rose. I'm at 3610 Gillespie Street. I'm asking you to vote no and further to support the Mayor's Fitness Program. Thank you.
My name is Alvin Tisdale. I live at 2810 Welburn. And please vote no.
My name is Karen Lucas. I live in 2525 Turtle Creek Boulevard. And I ask you please vote no.
Good afternoon. My name is Jennifer McKeever. I live at 2727 Hood Street. I'm asking you to please vote no, and thank you, Councilmember Hunt.
My name is Frank Kopek. I am the president of the Homeowners Association at the corner of Welburn and Gillespie. We are a very residential neighborhood. Today I counted 40 families that live one block from this proposal, and we ask you to vote no.
My name is Belinda Maylaw, and I live directly next door to the property mentioned at 3722 Gillespie. Please vote no.
My name is Major Ginsburg. I'm here with my wife, Lori. We live at 3716 Gillespie. We have joined the property, and we urge you to vote no.
Thank you, Mayor Leppert and council members. You've heard a lot of statements today in opposition. As you heard also, there was a significant community meeting last night on this matter, and we did speak with our council member on this, and what I would like to do now is give you all a copy of the presentation that I just made, and if I could ask you to hand that around,
Thank you. You
can review that.
Mr. Mayor, they have 4 minutes and 42 seconds. That's it, Alvin.
That's it. Okay. Terrific. We appreciate all of you being here. Thank you very much.
Is there anyone that would like to speak in favor of the recommendation of the City Plan Commission? Please come forward at this time.
Mayor, members of the council, Kirk Williams, 5400 Renaissance Tower, representing the applicant in this matter. First of all, this is not an encroachment into a residential area. I think most of you have been around long enough to know that Oak Lawn has been for years designated as a special retail street in the Oak Lawn PD. This property, in fact, was zoned general retail, as is both of the properties on either side of it, until 1997. In 1997, a business called Tony's Wine Warehouse wanted to locate at this site. It was not allowed to locate there under the GR district, and as a result, needed to go through the zoning process. Part of the issue has to do with the parking at Tony's, because if it were considered to be a restaurant, a 5,000 square foot building could not be parked on the site. Since there was some warehousing, and warehousing isn't allowed in your GR district, a sub-area was created. So it wasn't to allow for an additional use. It was, in fact, a restriction of uses in order to accommodate Tony's Wine and Warehouse. I will tell you, however, that there are four uses that are allowed. It doesn't have to be just Tony's, because Tony's has been out of business and this building's been vacant for 2 years. But there are four uses that are allowed on this property as a matter of right. If you denied the request today, a liquor store is an allowed use. If you deny the request today, a bar, tavern, and lounge is an allowed use. If you deny the request today, a restaurant is an allowed use. And if you denied it today, an office is an allowed use without going to the neighborhood. We've been trying to market this property for 2 years. We are wanting to have the ability to put in a convenience store. 7-Eleven has entered into a contract with us. We want to be able to spend approximately $700,000 and not build a new building. Take the existing building that is boarded up, renovate it, open it to the public. If 7-Eleven wanted to go on either side of us, they could do that as a matter of right without asking anybody. So this is not an encroachment into a neighborhood. It's saying, what are we going to do with a 5,000 square foot building that's currently vacant, that's been vacant for 2 years, and is only allowed to be used as a liquor store, a bar tavern and lounge, a restaurant without drive-through service, or an office building? We did make, obviously, our presentation to the city staff, and we made it our submittal, and we have a favorable recommendation from the city staff. We had two hearings before the city, before the Oaklawn Committee. The Oaklawn Committee gave us a letter of support. They wanted to be sure that we looked at landscaping and that we contact our adjacent property owners. And in neither of those meetings did anybody appear in opposition. I did receive a withdrawal of the support of the Oaklawn Committee this morning, after our meeting yesterday, but it's not an opposition letter. It's simply saying we withdraw our support because we know that that building has to have some readaptive use. Leaving it vacant is not good for either the owner, it's not good for the neighborhood, and it's not good for the city. But that withdrawal was received this morning. We also have a unanimous recommendation from your City Plan Commission. Nobody showed up in opposition at that point in time. Notices were posted, notices were sent out. 2 weeks ago, we started hearing rumblings regarding the opposition. I will tell you, we had a meeting last night. We had the people from 7-Eleven that were present. Obviously, the owner of the site is present in the audience and will be glad to address you in a minute. And the overwhelming concern had to do with a convenience store being located at this location, crime, 24-hour operation. What we really need is the ability to have retail uses at this site so that we can readaptively use the existing building. We're not looking to add on to a building. We're not looking to encroach further into a neighborhood. We are satisfied with the parking that is involved. We worked with your city arborist in order to meet a landscaping plan that would be better than is there today. And for those reasons, your planning and zoning, or your City Plan Commission, recommended unanimously for approval. We would respectfully request that you follow the recommendation of the City Plan Commission. It is important that we have the ability to market this piece of property for something other than a liquor store, a bar, a restaurant without drive-through service, or office. We simply want that flexibility. If there is a concern regarding the convenience store, I'll be glad to address that. That was the overwhelming amount of the discussion last night. 7-Eleven representative was present, and we certainly understand their concerns in that regard. With that, I would like to introduce the owner of the property, Billy Hibbs, and then I will be glad to answer any specific questions you may have.
Thank you, Kirk. Mr. Mayor, distinguished members of the Dallas City Council, my name is Billy Hibbs from Tyler, Texas, and I never imagined a scenario where I would have to appear before you on such a routine matter. I know I live in a small town, but I was actually naive enough to think that a new urban-style 7-Eleven was an upgrade over a vacant liquor store. I own the former Tony's Wine Warehouse, where my former tenant was liquidated by the Dallas County Sheriff's Department for failure to pay his taxes. Because of zoning limitations, that property has now been vacant for 2 years. As the chairman of a family-owned insurance holding company that employs about 125 people in the Dallas area, I always try to play by the rules. I thought I did everything right by hiring the right counsel, the best counsel, working with the Oak Lawn Committee, sending personal letters to adjacent homeowners, describing the project, posting all of the notices, and being available and transparent throughout the entire process. This project has so much merit that your own Planning and Zoning Commission recommended it 14-0. That's incredible. I'm not sure that we can get 14 people to agree it was snowing this morning outside. As you've heard, because of the unusual existing zoning of this parcel, I realistically only have two choices, a bar or a liquor store. I sincerely believe that a new urban concept, 7-Eleven, will be a nice upgrade for the Oak Lawn community. In the last 2 weeks, opposition was organized by certain members of the neighborhood. These people never appeared before the Oak Lawn Committee or the City Plan Commission to discuss their concerns. And until the last couple of weeks, there was not one single protest of this zoning change on record with the City of Dallas, of which I'm aware. I saw exactly 6 letters of protest, and I personally responded to every one of them. I began meeting with concerned members of the community, along with Mr. B of 7-Eleven, to help familiarize them with this new concept store. From those meetings, I learned 2 things. Number 1, they had a legitimate concern about crime. So, I sent our top loss control specialist to the property to try and make this the safest 7-Eleven in their entire system. And she has made a comprehensive list of suggestions. Most of these, 7-Eleven is already doing or planning to do, and some of them, they want to study a little more. But in the end, we all recognize that we don't want crime in the location. Unfortunately, I'm not in charge of law enforcement. The second thing I took away from that meeting was that there is nothing that I can do that's going to please everyone. Nothing. If I was to place a restaurant there, which of course we are limited to because the parking is actually inadequate according to Dallas City Code, we heard complaints about the homeless people that would be dumpster diving for food. If we were to lease to a bar, we were told that we would be guilty of attracting drunks to the neighborhood who are then targets for criminals. If we were to lease to another liquor store, I can only imagine the complaints about how we have devalued everyone's property. In fact, if you approve the retail zoning change that we requested and we lease the space to a Christian bookstore, I have no doubt that people would complain about that too. I simply can't make everyone happy. And due to all of these complex rules and regulations in the Oak Lawn area, I'm stuck with a very expensive, vacant building. In closing, I want you to know that 7-Eleven plans to spend upwards of $700,000 to improve this location and make this store one of their very finest. I can assure you that the value of the property reflected on the rolls of the Dallas County Appraisal District are going to be far greater as an upscale 7-Eleven than a vacant liquor store. I want to leave you with a quote from the September 11, 2010 Dallas Morning News article titled, 7-Eleven plans to open 2 more downtown stores soon. The quote said, "We're thrilled that we're getting a 7-Eleven, and all of the office workers near our building are too." So, please don't be persuaded that everyone is universally opposed to a 7-Eleven. They are not. Thank you for this opportunity to appear before you today. I respectfully request that you approve the zoning change to retail so I can have the ability to lease this empty space to a tenant who will be a good neighbor and an asset to the community. Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else that would like to speak in opposition?
No, it's in favor.
In favor.
In favor.
Go ahead. I'll be glad to answer any specific questions at this time. Again, the overwhelming amount of the discussion has been over a 24-hour operation of a convenience store. We have them under contract. We're proud to have them under contract. We think they would be an asset to the community. But I simply tell you that if we simply deny this request, the building stays vacant, or it becomes a liquor store, or it becomes a bar, or a restaurant, we still need an exit strategy, not just the client, but the city and the community.
There are, if you think that a convenience store is not the appropriate use, there are ways to address that and still allow us to have the other retail uses that are set forth in the planned development district to give us the flexibility to put this back in the economic mainstream of the city. I'll be glad to answer any specific questions. I appreciate your time. Thank you very
much.
Thank
you. Ms. Huffley?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Thank you, President.
Oh, okay.
I want to thank everyone for braving the cold and bad weather to be down here today, and I appreciated your attendance last night at the meeting where we had, I think, a very good discussion and very good conversation about what this would mean for your neighborhood. I want to address a couple of issues to my colleagues. It's been said that this opposition arose suddenly, and I do want to address that. I think there was really kind of a misunderstanding about who the property owner should approach to discuss this matter. They approached the Oak Lawn Committee, which addresses zoning cases often in the Oak Lawn community. And I think that was a very good choice and an important conversation to have. However, I think the mistake that was made here is that the surrounding neighborhood was also not brought into that conversation. And yes, a handful of adjacent property owners were sent letters, but I think we can all agree that the larger, other than four folks, the larger neighborhood was not brought into this conversation. And that's just absolutely critical. These are the folks who are going to have to live with this day in, day out. These are the folks who are going to have to deal with any problems that may arise day in, day out. And these are the folks who are already invested in this community and will have to address any problems that may come up. So I think it's important to note that once the community understood what this zoning change was and what was being proposed, they didn't like it. They didn't like the sound of it. Colleagues, has anyone here seen the zoning notices that actually go out to residents? I've been working on zoning cases for over 6 years now. I find them incomprehensible, and I think most of you will agree with me that they don't give you a lot of information about what is actually being proposed. So I don't think it's really fair to expect residents who are going about their everyday lives, who are dealing with family issues, work issues, to closely inspect and understand a complex zoning issue that's come before them. Luckily, some of the neighborhood leaders did catch what was going on, did alert the community, and did engage everyone. So I appreciate that. And Marcus, I appreciate your help in making that happen and your hard work on that. I think after everyone understood what was going on, over 90% of the property owners who received ballots voted in opposition. And that's significant. Oftentimes when we have a community that's split on an issue, kind of 50-50, we can generally find some room for compromise. But when I talked with everyone last night to just kind of ferret out, were there certain issues that if we tweak maybe something here and compromise on something there, perhaps we can meet in the middle, it was very clear to me that this is about this particular use of a 24-hour convenience store. And I do appreciate the issue of wanting to find the right type of business that can come in here. And so what I would suggest, and one of the reasons that I'm going to propose denial without prejudice, is that so that you can have the opportunity to go back to this community, and these folks in particular, and talk with them and work with them about what might be more appropriate, and if there are zoning changes needed, getting their support on that. I do take a little offense to the idea that, you know, it can't get any worse, or, you know, you can't make everybody happy and these folks won't be happy with anything. I think you're wrong about that. I think they will be. And I think I've gotten a sense from talking with them that they will work with you on this. I don't think that you went into this with any bad intentions of not engaging the community. And I hope the neighborhood knows that. I do believe that, unfortunately, you worked with one group and needed to work with a larger group, and that was the problem. And so I think now that you're aware of this conflict, you can work with the surrounding community as well on this. So without further ado, I would like to move to deny this case without prejudice so that you can continue to work with the community, bring something back that you'll have the support of the neighborhood on, support of the major property owners like the Warwick Melrose Hotel, the Methodist Church, the Mansion Hotel, and we can get on the same page together. My motion is to deny without prejudice.
It's been moved. Is there a second?
Second.
Teresa, can I steal you for a second? I guess I'm troubled by this on a couple of different planes. The first one is I am just lost at how we can go through this entire process and come to the last minute. Because, you know, we try to communicate to people for good reason. We want investment to come to our city, build tax base, all those sorts of things. It's a good place to do business, et cetera. So we have literally gone through an entire process. It looks like it went through the initial when you sat down with the folks that were involved in the plan initially, through the staff, et cetera. No objections, went through. That was signed off by staff. Then it went through the planning commission. As was mentioned, unanimous there, all the pieces. So we get down to the 11th hour. And I'm wondering both in this process, but also what does it say about our processes in total? We can get there, and in fact, nobody saw this thing. Nobody saw an issue. We come to the 11th hour. So the next person that comes in and wants to make a zoning change, wants to do something, wants to make an investment in the city, I wonder what in the world they think. I'm just curious, how could we get down to the 11th hour and nobody raises this? So that, in fact, and again, time is money, and there's real money that's going into this. Help me understand that.
Well, I think...
And if it's a rhetorical question, you can just leave it as a rhetorical question.
Well, I think Councilwoman Hunt makes a good point, that our notices are difficult at best. Now, we did a lot of work on them a couple of years ago, and they're better than they have been. But I do think, especially in the Oak Lawn or PD 595 or some of our more complicated PDs, it's difficult to understand exactly what's going on. And I think that probably accounts for a good amount of confusion. So there's
and
that.
How are these notices different than the other 1,000 that have gone out in the last 6 months?
Well, there are standard legal notices, and we always put a phone number on there, and we encourage people to call so that they can get information about exactly what's going on. Now, when staff evaluated...
And the other 10 that we're approving today, I assume it was the same notice?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Go ahead.
Oak Lawn has historically been a very involved community. They're very detail-oriented. That plan has been well nurtured through the years. The staff's position on this case was a recommendation of approval. We do think of an occupied building as certainly better than a vacant building. The existing sub-district has a very limited number of uses. The uses that were added, so what's been added, I think I gave away my list of uses that were added, were things that we thought could enhance the neighborhood, like antique stores and...
Let me shift and help you on that one. I think was as appropriately said, we've got a vacant building today.
Yes.
Which my sense is that clearly doesn't help the tax base, it doesn't help people around it, clearly doesn't help the crime situation. Now, the uses that are permitted there are a bar, lounge, or tavern, a liquor store, an office, and a restaurant without drive-through or drive-through service.
Yes.
The ones that would be added would be antique store, bakery shop, stationery store, camera shop, candy store, clothing store, drug store, florist store, feed store, pet show, store, furniture store, secondhand store, hardware, et cetera, on those.
Yes, we thought those were uses that would enhance the neighborhood. Now, the gentleman that spoke first did a very good synopsis of the Oak Lawn plan and how we encourage urban form and landscaping, those kind of things. My understanding is that the Applicant wishes to use the existing building in its current configuration and the existing parking in its current configuration. So none of that would change unless the site was redeveloped. And if the site was redeveloped, it would be subject to all of those, the provisions of the Oakland plan.
Coming yes. back in and dealing with all those, because yes. I received a very thoughtful, I appreciate it, note from a community member that identified a number of reasons for the opposition. And a number of those were really going at the physical development of the site.
Right.
But yet my understanding is all it is a renovation of an existing building. So granted it goes from a nicer facade to a boarded up facade.
That's fine.
But you're staying within the same. So
footprint,
I'm,
yes.
So it doesn't seem to me that on any count the physical aspects of it deteriorate, and again seems to me that they move forward. There was also concern raised on crime. Did the DPD, the Dallas Police Department, raise any issue on this?
We've
Anyone
talked
through
to
this?
One of the assistant chiefs, and as you know, the convenience stores are subject to the convenience store ordinance.
Absolutely.
DPD does consider vacant buildings attractive nuisances. The convenience store ordinance requires cameras and reporting and training of their staff, so they felt like some additional improvements would be available through that ordinance.
And under the current setup, I could run a 24-hour liquor store there, couldn't I?
Yes.
So if I kind of walk through this thing, in terms of the physical development, they're not going outside the existing structures. The structure is going to stay the same. Okay, so
yes,
again, I'd make the argument that at least a facade is going to be a lot better than boarded up. Then talking about crime, the Dallas Police Department didn't raise any issue. And I'd be concerned that on that one chart, that identified a lot of businesses that we're actively going out and trying to solicit additional investment in the city of Dallas. And then when you look at additional uses, we're either fundamentally saying that this is going to turn in to another issue of, unfortunately, where we have too many of them, bars and liquor stores, or it's going to stay vacant. If I do a liquor store, I'm still stuck with 24 hours, so I haven't improved my situation there and arguably made it worse. You know, I'm just afraid we have done things in the past that clearly haven't served us. I can remember one instance where we put some unusual hours. We tried to kind of tell what the market was, and we put some unusual hours on something. That building is still vacant to this day. We did another one not too long ago where we basically came to agreement on exactly what it would be. Now, if this is changing the convenience store or something. But we said, no, you have to go back through the entire process. They went back through the entire process. And then the market changed. And that cost us about $200 million worth of investment that would be in place today if we had gone forward at that point. So I'm searching to see how we're improving the city of Dallas. Because by going through this process, I think it's difficult for any of us to go out and say, hey folks, we want additional investment to come into this city. Knowing that you can go through the entire process, city staff, planning commission, all the way through to 1159, not even the 11th hour. And all of your investment for all practical purposes out the door. So it's pretty tough to make the argument that we want investment. In a time when we need additional investment to address tax base issues, it seems to me that's becoming pretty difficult. And I can remember, Sheffy, being in your area not too long ago, where there's an area 10 years ago that didn't want any investment at all, and they stopped things. Now they're going out and they're desperately trying to get it because all they've got is a lot of vacant buildings. And they know the problem that they've gotten into. Then we've got a situation where we know it's going to stay a vacant building, largely because it's unmarketable, or, and what I'm really concerned about is we're going to force this to basically devalue the property and have any liquor store comes in there that's not going to be a brand or anything else, but simply a way to liquidate the property and be able to use it. So I have a tough time understanding how that makes the neighborhood better. And then in terms of the hours usage, we already know that it's already available under the permitted uses to be 24 hours the way it is. And the crime situation, again, the Dallas Police Department doesn't think it's being issued. In fact, we've addressed that and have seen from the numbers that were previously quoted an enormous drop in the last year and a half on the number of convenience store calls that our Dallas Police Department has. All those fair points?
Yes, sir.
So we're going to go back through the process. We'll tell somebody to go back through the process at additional cost, additional investment. And we expect people to come invest in our city. And that was rhetorical. You don't need to answer it. I appreciate it. Ms. Davis,
very much. Thank you. First of all, what I'm trying to find out on the living in the shadow of crime, the plan site that was given to us by the community this year, is this the 7-Eleven that's there now?
I've not seen that document.
Neil? You have the
7-Eleven three blocks down the street at Fairmont and Oak Lawn that is already a nest for crime.
Okay. And I thought this was the 7-Eleven that you're talking about. When you go on Saturday night on Maple, you have the Exxon at the corner of Wycliffe, and then you have the 7-Eleven. And I have been over in that area just going through around that area. On Saturday night, this 7-Eleven on a Saturday night have people hanging out in front of it. It's not clean, and it's just, there's nothing against 7-Eleven. I like 7-Eleven, so let me say that. It's not clean. They have people standing out in front of it. Then you have ladies of the night trying to pick up.
Oh, we have ladies, gentlemen, and in between. Anything you want.
At this particular 7-Eleven. So, I will say that. Now, and let me say this. You know, I've been coming down to City Hall for a number of years. And the Oak Lawn community seems to be fairly well organized on anything that they support. And I do believe that the Oak Lawn Neighborhood Association, since I've been involved in coming to City Hall, and that's been since the 80s, have been very well organized in the things they want in their community. The Oak Lawn Neighborhood has gotten a lot of things that they want in their community by working with the developers over the years. That's what I've seen. Now, I do believe that the consultants have to work with the neighborhood. Something was missed. The Oak Lawn, we filed the Oak Lawn PD for PD 595. And Oak Lawn have done a wonderful PD over the years. They have one of the strongest PDs that I've seen in the city. And most people, Teresa, followed their PD. So to sit and say, well, you know, I don't agree with that. You have the best group of people who understands PDs, who know how to work PDs, and who have done wonderful PDs. Something was missed here. And I don't think that this group is saying they're against the 7-Eleven, but hey, let's sit down and talk about something at the table. And so I do agree a little what happened. Teresa, you've been working with this organization over the years.
I'm actually, everyone brace yourself, I will defend Ms. O'Donnell.
Okay.
What happened? Don't ever. Anyway, I'm asking you a question about what happened, and the answer is the notices for the Plan Commission came the week between Christmas and New Year's.
Okay.
And that was no one's fault. It was not by design. The people who got them hadn't had recent experience with the zoning case. That's what happened. People were out of town, holidays.
Okay.
They arrived the week between Christmas and
New Year's. So that is what happened. Okay. Now, you know, and I just want to put it out there. This, the PD that the Oakland people did back in the 80s still exists today and is still strong. We followed their PD to do PD 595, so I do know that this organization, that neighborhood association, is very well organized. So to say that, well, they don't want a 7-Eleven or a liquor store, beer and wine store might come there, I think that they could work with the owner of that property and work with you and to get what is going to be best for the neighborhood and you as well. So let's not give up on this. This is not the end of the river. I am going to have to support Ms. Hunt on this one. And we might lose, but I will be supporting her on this one. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you. Ms. Hunt, please.
And I appreciate your comments, Ms. Davis. This I want to address to my constituents who are here today. I think I told you last night that there is a fundamental difference in philosophy in looking at zoning cases. There are some folks who try to look at what is in the best interest of the neighborhoods, the folks who have to live with the zoning change day after day. And then there are folks who want to develop at any cost. I don't believe in development at any cost. I don't believe that's what makes a great city. What makes a great city is great neighborhoods. After 6 years of zoning cases, it's kind of zoning 101. If you want to criticize people who oppose a zoning case, you say, well, it could always be worse. You're going to end up with something absolutely horrible there. If you don't think I hear that every time we have a zoning case, you're mistaken. It's always, well, you're going to get something terrible. If you don't approve this zoning change, you're going to get something horrible. Mr. Rogers, I have a question for one of our city attorneys, because I think I heard someone suggest that we're going to end up with a 24-hour bar or a 24-hour liquor store if we don't get threatened into approving this today. John, can we have a 24-hour bar or a 24-hour liquor store here by right?
There's no city rule on that per se, but the Texas Alcoholic Beverage Code does limit the hours of sale for alcohol. If it's for on-premise, it's from 7 a.m. until 2 a.m. on any day. And if it's for off-premise, like a liquor store, has to close at it's 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. Monday through Saturday.
9 p.m.
Closed on Sundays and certain holidays.
Till 9 p.m. So that's a little bit different from a 24-hour liquor store that you all need to go home and be worried about, or a 24-hour bar that you all need to go home and worry about. I don't like threats like that. Thank you, John. At the end of the day, I stand with the constituents I represent, and I will not be bullied into cowing to, I think, an ill-planned zoning change simply because someone thinks it could be worse and their facts are wrong.
Ms. Indiffy, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Ms. O'Donnell, how about Ryan first? I just want to make sure the information I've got in front of me here. The opposition gave us this handout, Teresa, and I'm not sure. Somebody from the police department over there?
Yeah.
I saw Ryan over there before. Or whoever.
And the chief.
Chief? There he is. Okay. There's the chief. Where's the chief when you need one?
No one on staff's seen that document, so the chief doesn't have seen it. Yeah.
All right. Here, you can have them. Well, come take mine. Of course, then I don't have it to look at. But anyway, I guess what I'm trying to do. Oh, here, we got another one. If you look at the second page, there's four businesses listed, a Walgreens, Office Depot, 7-Eleven, and an Exxon store. And the caption on this indicates that this is a representative bar graph of the crime since 1105 per 1,000 crimes. Do you have any idea about what today's situation is with crime in that area? I'm not disputing these figures. I just want to get some relative to where we are today.
No, sir. I couldn't speak to what the crime is in that area today at this very moment.
All right. Well, then I won't put you on the spot anymore. The numbers are what they are, I guess. Ms. O'Donnell, are you familiar with the location?
Yes, sir, I am.
All right. I mean, I've been by there many times. I just want to make sure I'm looking at the right thing, and then I want to ask you a question. I pulled up on Google Earth here what appears to be Tony's Liquor Store, or what was Tony's Liquor Store. And it's kind of a low-roof, flat building.
Yes.
And it's got what almost kind of looks like a church in the back, over to the right a little bit, mm-hmm. You know, taller piece of it. Is that the building we're talking about?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's a two-story building adjacent.
Right. Okay. Under the proposed rezoning, how do you control this building maintaining its current physical structure, which is what I believe I heard was the plan, to convert it to a 7-Eleven, but it would look just like it looked? Do we have that ability?
Well, right now it's tied to the development plan that's before you. So there is a development plan as part of this. Any new development would have to come in with an amended development plan.
Okay. And the development plan is detailed enough to specify this particular building?
It's very detailed, yes, sir.
It's very. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. And we restricted the FAR. That lot in the back is restricted to parking. So it would have to come back.
Okay. And Ms. Hunt addressed a couple of questions I was going to ask you, because the issue of, I don't know if a bar is specifically allowed there, but liquor store questions were answered by Mr. Rogers. Okay. Okay, that's it. Thank you. Appreciate it. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Enjoy.
Thank you, Mayor. While you're at the podium, both of you, let me ask you, the liquor store, potential liquor store that could go there, would they have to come back to the city council, or they could just go on Jefferson and get permits and follow the city code and overnight open up like they do kind of in the southern sector?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
So that's all right.
So it's not something that would have to find its way back to this council if they chose to use some of these uses that are already allowed?
That's correct, sir.
All right. So the neighborhood could find themselves burdened with something much different from what they're confronted with today. And what are those uses, potential possible uses again?
The ones that are allowed today are the new uses that they're trying to add.
Can you name today, a few of those?
Today it's a bar, lounge, or tavern. I should mention that either a bar or a restaurant under the current ordinance is limited to 1,500 square feet, and there's approximately 5,500 square feet of floor area on the site. So bar or a restaurant would be limited to 1,500 square feet. That was negotiated as part of the original Tony's deal because of limitations on parking in the area. But the other uses that would be allowed are just office, liquor store, bar, or restaurant.
Now that's what's allowed today, but what they're asking to add in this zoning case are things like antique stores, bakeries, bookstores, camera shop, cigar store, clothing store, drug store, florist, feed shop, more neighborhood service type uses.
So if it's denied, you're saying that that would be added into it?
No, if it's denied, they would be left with those four primary uses, which is bars, liquor stores, office, or restaurant without drive-thru.
Are there a number of bars over in that area already?
Oak Lawn has quite a few bars.
Would that be a location that would be advantageous for an investor to say, okay, well, they can't do that, so here's an opportunity for me to go get a bar?
Well, it would be a relatively small establishment. It'd be limited to 1,500 square feet, and they do have a limited amount of
bars. Some of that nature. And that would not have to come back before this Dallas City Council.
That's right. It would not.
And thank you. Also, in looking at it, and Mayor, you're absolutely correct as relates to
new investment and folks coming into our city and the signal that we send for investors to come. The process has been going on a long time, and I think each and every one of our planning commissioners have voted on this, and it's before us today as unanimous. Let me ask you this: would it be something that we may, instead of taking a vote on today, send back to the CPC for them? And Ms. Hunt, I'm asking you all: is it possible that this could go back to CPC and let them begin to take a look at it, so it would not have to be dealt with today, to give it another opportunity for the community, since they didn't get the notices or it was not effective time for them or enough time allotted? Because we certainly, I'm not in favor of having an investor to come in here and have to go back and restart the engine all over again. That investor loses his investment, all of the time that has been placed into it. And then I'm very concerned to the fact that we have appointed, each and every one of us have appointed a member to the City Plan Commission, and they've reviewed it, and it comes before us today, and they've had more hands-on with it, and then the very reason that we appointed them there, we're asked to go against their recommendation. Not that we are bound to have to go along with any and all recommendations, but we certainly should be concerned somewhat, at least I am, for my planning commission person, because I think that he does a tremendous job and a very thorough job. When you take a look at it, I also think, and I'll say this to the council member, that it embarrasses, or it doesn't embarrass, that's the wrong word, but it puts us in an awkward position, or it puts me, Ms. Hunt, in an awkward position when the citizens come here today, and if indeed we knew, it was known that there was this much opposition, for me to look in the faces of the citizens today, and this case hits me today, and it's been something. I think there should have been some dialogue somewhere previously with the council members, so that we could be made abreast and make a much more and better educated decision on this. And so to you all, I'm just getting it, and I would say, Ms. Hunt, I wish you had come to us as individuals to say, hey, look, I got this hot case. Let me try to explain it, and this is why. But I say to you all, when it hits us like this, then I'm in a position to where it's I have a representative that has gone through the process, and it's last minute with us not discussing it. And I think that we should, in tough cases, we should communicate. That's what this council should do. I don't think that any of us would disagree with that. That we have the option and we have the responsibility to discuss things that are going to put all of us into this barrel of pickles. I do think, Mayor, maybe we could entertain, should it be accepted, and I don't know, and I'm not going to even put it in a motion, but I know where I stand on this case, but if indeed it was an opportunity for the neighborhoods to go back, Mr. Matinsky, and to maybe revisit with Planning Commission, and you all work it out. And this would not be the first case, nor would it be the first time, that we have sent stuff back for folks to go and work out and bring it back to us before we put a decision on it, final decision. That's what my thinking is at this particular point. I'll rest for now, but to see and hear other additional discussions.
Thank you. Mr. Kinney, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to give my questions to Ms. Hunt, if that's all right. Ms. Hunt, I know you've been thoroughly over this. I'm just wondering if, have you talked with Mr. Williams and his group with this group? Have they been together? And what I was thinking is, if they hadn't, but you say they have, that they might could come up with some kind of security system that would be better for them than anything in the area and might help them. If they had a 24-hour security service or something there, watching the facility in the area possibly could help them. And I didn't know whether maybe deferring it until they could get together and maybe they work something out like that. I just hate to see it go by the wayside and not everything be done. And I'm sure you have. I didn't know whether that had come up and that by them doing a security deal there could help the entire neighborhood. I don't know. And you possibly have already been there, and you're welcome to answer that. That's what I needed to know.
I appreciate your point on that. And we have had a conversation together about whether there might be some room for some tweaks or compromise, and I think it's just a fundamental disagreement with having a convenience store that is open for 24 hours at that location. I think a major property owner, the Warwick Hotel, who's been there for years and years, is very concerned about it. And you also have the Manson Hotel that's very concerned about it. So I think there are a number of concerns that are simply fundamental to this type of use. To the issue of sending this back to the CPC, at this time, it's not clear to me. Kurt, do you guys have someone else waiting in the wings, another proposal other than 7-Eleven waiting in the wings right now?
We do not, but if it will help at all, I will offer to withdraw. We'll walk away from the 7-Eleven convenience store, and we can eliminate, if it would help you get to a conclusion today so we can move forward with the other retail uses, we would restrict against this PD, and it could be restricted against a store that requires a convenience store inspection pursuant to the City of Dallas ordinances. I don't like doing it because I think 7-Eleven is a good corporate citizen for this city. We're glad to have them, but I don't think we're going to come to a conclusion over the 7-Eleven with the community. I will ask that we be, if you could approve the rest of the uses that are in here so we could move forward with the antique store or some viable use along there, we will eliminate the convenience store by saying that any store, any use, any business that requires a convenience store inspection pursuant to the City of Dallas ordinances would not be an allowed use. We could write that in the plan development district and we could move forward today.
But just to be clear, you don't have either a proposed tenant, a proposed site plan.
Well, the site plan is exactly, we will use the same building, the same parking. We've been trying to lease this property for 2 years. I mean, our broker is sitting in the audience, and we've been working, but we're limited to the liquor store, the bar, etc. We can't go after the antique store or the bookshop or those sorts of things. If you'll let us go after that, that man will go to work tomorrow.
Okay.
But I will eliminate. Convenience store is not going to be acceptable to the neighborhood, in my opinion. I don't mind working on it, but they are, and they're serious about it. I mean, they weren't playing games with us. I understand that.
Okay,
but
Kurt, I think you answered my question.
Yes.
Let me suggest this then. Colleagues, I'd like a few minutes to talk with some of the residents about Kirk's idea of really taking the convenience store off the table. And so what I propose to do is to defer this until after we discuss several other items, defer perhaps to the end of the meeting, Mayor.
That'd be fine. Kirk, if I understand what you're suggesting, I just want to make sure I understand it. You're basically saying save the convenience store. What this parcel would be was no different than the other 19 parcels that have that same retail opportunity.
The properties on both sides of us are zoned general retail.
Yeah, it looks like there's 19 parcels on the same block that have the retail zoning that you're talking about. Is that
correct?
Right?
But we are still, in order to move this forward, we would still eliminate.
No, I understand. But it just makes it the same retail zoning as everybody else has got. You're throwing out the convenience store.
We've already thrown out pawn shop, for example.
I understand.
So we took some out already, believing that it would be best for the neighborhood, so we're willing to do that.
Okay.
But you are correct.
And the stores that you're talking about, which I assume try to get out of the vacant building and that sort of thing, these are not very big businesses, e.g. businesses that are not going to be able to make a contract subject to 6 months worth of zoning or something like that. So you're not going to be able to market this product effectively to people, or this parcel, excuse me, effectively, unless you've got at least some general direction on what to go. Otherwise, you're right back to the existing uses of the liquor store. Is that right?
Yes, sir. In fact, that 7-Eleven has been under, we had a letter of intent. They weren't willing to wait for the 6 to 9 months that's taken us to get to this level right now.
I understand that. And we, the stores you're talking about, my sense is you're not going to have any corporate entity like a 7-Eleven that's got the resources either. Okay.
Yes.
Okay, we'll hold it. We'll just hold this in advance. Madam Secretary, if we could we go to item number 40 and you read that into the record?
Okay. Item 40 is a public hearing to receive comments regarding your application for an ordinance granting a planned development district for a fraternal organization and office use on the property zone of a single-family district with consideration given to a specific use permit for a fraternal organization on property on the west side of Stokes Road, south of Forest Lane. And I think this one, Mr. Mayor, needs a three-quarters vote.
It does.
On this item, and you did receive some information from the speaker on this matter.
I'm not going to hold the speaker. I'm going to go.
Okay.
I think we're going to have a motion on deferral on this. Mr. Allen, can I go to you on this?
Yes. We deferred this 30 days ago, trying to give the opportunity for the applicant and the neighborhood to kind of sit down and come together. The applicant also is, it's a Mason's Lodge, and they wanted to have a meeting also with the members, and because of the holidays and such, that did not happen. They're having their meeting tomorrow, Friday is when they're actually going to have it. So would like to be able to go ahead and defer this for another 30 days. So I move to leave the public hearing open and hold this request under advisement to the March 9th, 2011 City Council meeting.
Okay. It's been moved and seconded. Mr. Carraway, did you want to add something?
Yes, I wanted to just say I spoke with Mr. Allen on this issue, and I want to say to the neighborhood and to that church, Mr. Allen, we spoke on that issue.
Yes.
He's working hard on it. I think, and this is, I think it's going to, at the end of the day, work more in the favor of what we are trying to, what you all are trying to accomplish. I don't want you to take this delay the wrong way. I'm suggesting and asking that you take it in a good way. There's some time needed to work out some things, and I think from talking to Mr. Allen, those things are being approached and worked out. Now, it was a discussion about presenting today. It's my suggestion, and I think Mr. Allen will, he, myself, and the mayor will come up with, should we present? I would suggest that you wait and present it at the time that it is going to have the actual vote so that the impact can be there. You would probably be welcome to make the presentation because you all did come back.
If we defer it, we'll just hold the speech.
Okay. So that would be my suggestion to take back. It is something that I'm working even with Mr. Allen on, and Mr. Allen is working extremely hard to look after the church and the neighborhood there. So just wanted to kind of say that and suggest it to you. And Mr. Allen, I think you're doing on the right
thanks
track.
Thanks for your comments. And, So I know y'all have come down and ready to speak, but I concur with Mr. Carraway that perhaps it's best just to hold off on that. So, Mr. Mayor, I've got a motion on the table.
Okay, we got a motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
Thank you. It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed to order? Madam Secretary, if you could move 41, please, 41.
Item 41 is a public hearing to receive comments regarding consideration of amendments to Chapter 51 and 51A, the Dallas Development Code, to establish appropriate regulations for a community garden use under the existing crop production use in the Chapter 51A and the existing farm use in Chapter 51A and ordinance granting the amendments. Is there anyone in the audience that would like to speak on item number 41? Anyone that would like to speak on item 41? Mr. Mayor.
All right, Ms. Hansel.
Thank you, Mayor. Colleagues, I just want to remind you that we started down this path of community gardens probably about a year and a half ago, as long as I've been sitting in this chair. There's nobody here to speak for or against, mainly because we've put into the code what they've asked for. So I respectfully ask you to support this, and I will be second. Making the motion to approve.
All right, it's been moved and seconded. Any discussion? All in favor? All right, I'm sorry, Ms. McGovern. Margot.
Yeah, thank you. And Ms. Hasso, thank you for all the work that you've done on this. I know you've done a lot. The comment that I want to make, I'm going to support this. There's just a little bit of concern that I have about the right to put a garden on single-family lots without any kind of authorization or the consent of the people who live around it. But I think that's probably a small risk because I think that I doubt people will do it if the neighbors don't want it. So I'm going to go for it. But I would just ask the staff if it maybe in a year or so we could kind of have a review and see how it's gone to see whether that's really coming up as an issue or not.
Okay.
So I would like to propose that. Thank you.
We got a motion and second, whatever it is. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Any opposed to order? Now, Secretary, 42.
Item 42 is a public hearing to receive comments on substantial amendment number one to the FY 2010-11 consolidated plan for the Neighborhood Stabilization Program 3, including A, acceptance of the grant funds from the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development in an amount of $2,356,962 pursuant to the Housing and Economic Recovery Act of 2008 as amended by on July the 21st, 2010 under the Dodd-Frank Act. B, approval of the program statement attachment A. C, the addition of staff position and reimbursement for existing positions to provide for the administration planning oversight, reporting, and implementation of the NSP3 project over a three-year period. D, execution of the grant agreement. E, the receipt and deposit of program income in the amount not to exceed $1,020,000 generated from the NSP activities. And F, the establishment of appropriations in an amount not to exceed $1,020,000 in the NSP program income fund to be used for other eligible activities. And at the close of the public hearing, authorize substantial amendment number one to the FY 2010-11 consolidated plan for the NSP 3. Total not to exceed $3,376,962. Is there anyone in the audience that would like to speak on this particular item? Anyone that would like to speak on this item? Mr. Mayor.
Move to close public hearing and approve resolution 7.
Moved and second. Thank you very much. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, so ordered. Madam Secretary, item 43, please.
Item 43, Mr. Mayor, is a public hearing to receive comments regarding adoption of the Garland Road Vision Study, which defines issues, goals, and recommendations related to urban design and planning, as well as providing an implementation guide for future development in the area generally located along Garland Road from I-635 to the intersections of Gaston and East Grand Avenues, and a resolution adopting the study. Is there anyone in the audience that would like to speak on this item? Please come forward and state your name and your address for the record, sir.
Good afternoon, Mr. Mayor and ladies and gentlemen of the council. My name is Jerry Worrell. I'm a member of the Garland Road Vision Advisory Committee, and speaking in their behalf, I just want to say how pleased we are that the study process has progressed to the point where it's on your agenda today. We've been working on this process since the advisory committee was formed in 2006. Then council member for District 9, Gary Griffiths, was responsible for the initial formation and leadership. Councilman Cadane has taken the reins over in his time in office, and we are deeply appreciative for both individuals and their efforts. We wouldn't have been able to succeed or complete the process as we have without their assistance. The advisory committee has remained essentially intact since 2006, and I think that continuity has really been beneficial to us in our public hearings. We've had a series of public hearings and a substantial amount of stakeholder input that has developed what we are confident is a consensus vision for Garland Road. We certainly feel like we have considerable support in the community for the implementation, and I really appreciate your time and consideration today and would urge you to vote in support of the adoption of this. we as an advisory committee have elected to continue in a capacity going forward beyond the adoption of the study to try and be an advocate for the study and the vision, to continue to look for opportunities and to act as a catalyst to encourage development and encourage implementation in the years to come. So we're excited not only about the vote today, but of the stages to come, and appreciate your consideration.
Thank you. Appreciate you being here.
Hold on, dear. Mr. Kinney, please.
Mayor, thank you.
Mr. World, is this our consultant back here that's with you?
Yes, Mark Bowers with AJOK, was an integral part of the team, did a great job in assisting us with the process.
He did. He did an excellent job. Wanted to publicly thank you, Mark, for all you did, and I think he put time above and beyond
Absolutely.
What we gave him. But I really appreciate what you did, Mark. And I'll tell you, this was a community effort. It was for our entire corridor, and I see this as a catalyst for our entire city. We brought our neighbors together, which I know is a tough deal, Mark, to bring that many people together and try to get a consensus. And I think we did. And I think we're going to have a fantastic plan. And we've got a plan, Mayor, for our developers now to come in, and we can move right into the zoning and do what they need to do. And it's been a long time coming. And we'll continue, hopefully, with this committee and make sure things happen. We've already got some things going to happen. But, Mark, thank you so much for all you did for us. So with that, I'd like to close the public hearing and approve item Agenda item 43. Thank you.
It's been moved and seconded. It sounds like it was a real good process. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? So ordered. Okay, Madam Secretary, why don't we just go to our afternoon speakers?
Okay. Mr. Mayor, our first afternoon speaker that's signed up is Aman Amin, Marilyn Clark, Perry Forche, Frank Ward, William Hopkins, Leslie Allen Davis.
I want my 3 minutes.
Leslie Allen Davis, 3035 East Ledbetter. I think putting a whole look on the city council. I think that I'm gonna have to go to the kids to get these names out to the city council. Y'all mean well, but y'all keep making mistakes. And some decisions y'all make are not right. We must be on the course, stay the course to help bring problems back to black United States. I think the kids should ask their fathers, if their managers or supervisors, are they treating their employees right? Then the city council treats their employees right too, not just what the city mandates, but what is right. Because injustice in the world is threat to justice everywhere. That was what the King said. I'm talking about injustice. Treating people right on the job. If he gets treated right on the job, and they go for jobs at gas stations, 7-Eleven, barbecue place, anywhere, you got to treat people right and work for the work right. That will cause alcoholics and dope addicts not getting treated right on the job. And I think we should go. I guess I have to go to the kids now, because the adults are always throwing some drugs or like me on some kind of psychic medicine. See, but instead, our youth is our future. I think the youth should try to get up and not play so much. Just put hours for play, hours for TV, and get on a job and help your mother and father do the thing they need to take care of the household. Because it seems like they're overwhelmed with all these things coming out, being bombarded from TV, politicians, tax collectors, bill collectors, health problems, and all these kind of things. But the kids should, and should, that's what God formed here for, to help the mother and father do right and do better. Some people can't even have kids. And on the abortion, we shouldn't have abortion in the United States. We can feed two worlds with the food that's been processed in the United States and thrown away. Two worlds. And Obama, President Obama, I think he should get on Egypt and do things in decent order in Egypt, because we can't let them just go anywhere, because Egypt's right on the border with Israel. And the modern brotherhood has been a dangerous, I guess, faction of item in Israeli history, and caused destruction. And we should, and Secretary Connally to write, ex-Secretary Connally to help Hillary done the, what the brother, Bible Brotherhood is doing and has been doing for the past half a century. And then let's see what else. Obama, Bush, to the Bushes. Now the Bushes, y'all know Obama, he's a smart man, but he's not as good as I think he should be, because I couldn't vote for him. But John Hillary was defeated, one of the greatest presidents we ever had, because even though he don't got it, we ought to work together to make each and every one of us a better person on the job and off the job. Playing sports, playing fair play, like the football game we had the other day, it went pretty good with the tennis. I tell you, don't hurt people. Play fair. Have a good day. God bless you. Pray for me in Jesus' holy name.
Thank you very much.
And the final speaker was Marvin Crenshaw, and he's not present.
Okay, ma'am. What we'll do is let's go into recess. I'd like to ask everybody to kind of stay around here, and let's try to pick it up at 3:15.
Okay.
So about just short of 15 minutes.
Okay.
So just hang around here for a little bit.
What time?
3:15.
3:15.
I'm hoping. 12
minutes.
So give it about 15 minutes, and we'll come read this.
All right.
Back from recess, excuse me. Ms. Hunt, do you want to modify your motion?
Draw my motion to deny, and I believe my second, Carolyn Davis, is all right with that. Ms. Davis, are you okay with my withdrawing? Thank you. I'm going to move to close the public hearing and approve with the following changes. Require an SUP for bar, lounge, or tavern use. Delete liquor store as an approved use. And a convenience store as defined in Chapter 12B is not permitted. And I want to thank both the applicant and the neighborhood for working the last few minutes to make sure we got this right.
Terrific. Motion and second. Mr. Atkins?
Yes, sir. Neil, would you like to come forward, please?
Does everyone know that Kirk Williams and Susan Mead share the same birthday and year? And I checked, it was not a
problem. We don't care about that, Neil.
Yes.
But Neil, Kirk, do y'all agree? Have y'all?
Yes.
Everything's fine, right? Okay, thank you very much. Thank you, Mayor. Ms. Kelly.
Thank you, Mayor.
And let me say thanks to the neighborhood and thanks to Kirk, thanks to our guests from Tyler. Discussion is what it's all about. And that has been proven. And thank you, Angela. You stepped up to the plate. You all. It didn't take long to get to some form of understanding. My concern is the fact that we have a vacant building that's going to sit there in the neighborhood for a period of time. I'm tired of looking at vacant buildings. I want to see some vibrancy. I think it is in the best interest of the neighborhood for you all to have worked it out. And Neil, thank you as well. And Kurt, thank you. I'm just thanking everybody. Thanks to real estate. Now, you go out and find some tenants. That's what you got to do. That's your choice. And go do it very quickly. But I just want to say that discussion is what it's all about. And as long as we discuss it, we may not agree, but at the end of the day, it's what's best. And I just wanted to add that on to say thanks to everybody. Thank you, too, Mayor.
Thank you. Again, our role ought to be to find solutions. I hope this is a solution that makes sense, that allows the community to go forward and at the same time give some opportunity to put some real investment in this community and also to produce returns for those folks that hold the land. With that, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? So ordered. 3:18, we are adjourned.